The next 3 weeks, our sermons are going to be looking at three core elements of the vision that we believe that God has given to us for this year. A vision of being present, a vision of being in partnership, and Gareth's going to be coming to speak to us about that next week, and a vision of being prayerful. I've already talked a bit about these three things, being present, being in partnership, and being prayerful, both in the document that we sent out, our vision document earlier in the year, and also in a sermon a few weeks ago. But I want us to take a deeper look at each of these three elements. I want us to look at the biblical foundations behind these. And this is also a chance to build upon some of the discussions that we had on our vision day a few weeks ago and the outcomes that have come from that. So this morning, we're thinking about a vision of being present. In our vision for this year, the leadership team outlined our desire to be more present in the heart of our community. And we said that this involves being more visible, recognizing that many people in our village don't know who we are and where we are. But being present is more than just being visible. It's also about broadening the opportunities that we have for relationship with other people. I know some of you are doing the 40 Acts using that website throughout Lent. And this week, Act 9 was this theme of being present. And I just wanted to read to you what they wrote on their website this week. Being present for someone might conjure up images of therapeutic chats and tissue boxes, but really all it means is intentionally putting yourself in the presence of others for their benefit. It's giving the best of your time and the best of your attention to make someone feel valued. At the Vision Day that we had a few weeks ago, we talked about some of the positives of RBC. And we said that we are a family. We care for one another deeply. We support each other well. Being present is about extending the boundaries of our relationships, intentionally putting ourselves in the presence of others to provide these qualities that we believe we already have of family, friendship, care, and support, not only to our church family, but to the wider community around us as well. Also, on our vision day, there seemed to be a shared desire to eventually have a space, a visible space in the center of the village where we can be present, offering more time and space to the people around us. And so we're now on a journey to discerning what that might look like in practice. One important element for us to consider is the work we've been doing with Renew Wellbeing. Again, on our vision day, we broadly agreed that in order to discern what being present in the centre of the village looks like, that we first need to decide on whether as a whole church we buy into Renew Wellbeing and the work that we're doing there as a central aspect of the mission we're doing as a church. This doesn't mean every single person being involved in well-being work. It doesn't mean stopping all of our other activities, but it would involve a recognition that this is something God has called us to and placed upon us as a church, and a commitment to pray and support the work that's taking place. We want to move in coming months to make a decision on that as a church, but first it's important that everyone has an opportunity to understand more about Renew Wellbeing and what it would mean for us as a church to make this a core element of our mission. And it's especially important at this time that we spend some time praying as a church into this as well. Personally, I believe that Renew Wellbeing and that model provides, it is a perfect model for being present. It isn't about running loads of groups and courses and programs, as many churches rush around doing. Instead, it's about opening a space where it's okay not to be okay, providing friendship and a listening ear, having a few activities available if people wish to take part, and offering a regular rhythm of prayer throughout the day that people are welcome to join in with. It's very simple, but it's based around this principle of intentionally being present to the people around us, broadening the relationships we have so it's not just within the church, but it's outside the church as well. I want to spend a bit more time today thinking about this phrase, being present. But I also want to think about the word well-being for a moment. These are both words that we've used quite a few times over the past couple of years, and I've had several people say to me, well, aren't these just popular phrases in our culture at the moment? Why are we talking about well-being and being present? I haven't heard these words mentioned that much in the Bible. But actually, well-being and being present are two core biblical principles. These are words that are central to our faith. The word well-being comes from the word shalom, used countless times in the Old Testament, which means peace, but it means more than just peace. It's a word that talks about being made whole and being made well. It's God's desire all throughout Scripture is for shalom. It's for the world to be made whole, for humanity to be restored to the way that God created it to be. I believe that people can only find shalom and peace and wholeness and well-being when they enter into a relationship with Jesus. Our work in the area of well-being is not about adopting a popular cultural phrase, but it's about seeking to bring shalom to the lives of the people around us in this community. It's about a desire to see the kingdom of God present here on earth in our lives and in the lives of others. And I believe that we do that by being present. This is another biblical principle central to our faith. One of my favourite Christian writers, John Ortberg, writes this in his book, God is Closer Than You Think. The central promise in the Bible is not, I will forgive you, although of course that promise is there. It's not the promise of life after death, although we are offered that as well. The most frequent promise in the Bible is, I will be with you. The most frequent promise God gives in Scripture is the promise of his presence with us. It starts right at the beginning of Genesis, before Adam and Eve ever sinned or needed forgiveness. They were promised God's presence. He said that he would walk with them through the garden in the cool of the day. God created humankind because he wanted to have relationship with us. He wanted to be with us. He wanted to walk with us, talk with us, care for us, love us. God had a vision of being present right from the very beginning. Not being distant, but being with the people he created. John Ortberg says that the same promise of God being with us was made to so many people throughout the Bible. It was made to Enoch, it was made to Noah, to Abraham and Sarah, to Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Amos and Mary and Paul and too many others to list. God also gives us the promise of his presence as the reason to have courage. In Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 it tells us, do not be terrified, for the Lord your God will be with you. The Lord your God will be present wherever you go. The promise of God's presence has kept people going through some of the hardest and most difficult times of life. In Psalm 23, often read to people on their deathbed and at funerals, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And why? Because God is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Not only are well-being and being present core biblical principles, but they are also principles that go hand in hand. It's by being present that God takes away fear. It's by being present that God comforts us in darkness. It's by his presence with us that God brings about this shalom that we've talked about, this wholeness, this well-being and healing. So God's desire is to be with us. And this desire to be present is most visible when we turn to the New Testament and when we look at the life of Jesus and Jesus coming into the world. Jesus is the physical manifestation of God's presence. Jesus is God incarnate. You've probably heard that phrase. The word incarnate means to be embodied in human form. Jesus embodies God's desire to be present with us. Jesus is God present in human form. The coming of Jesus into the world is the clearest example of God's vision and God's promise to be present with us. The sin of Adam and Eve meant that God could no longer walk with them in the garden. Jesus came into the world as God in human form because God could not remain distant. He wanted the world to be restored to the way it had been created to be. And in coming in the form of a man, he was once again able to walk alongside us. Jesus is the physical embodiment of God, clearly displaying God's desire to be present with us and to walk alongside us. We read about this in John chapter 1. At the start of that chapter, it says, "In the beginning was the Word," and we know that the Word that's referred to there is Jesus. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." And then skipping on a few verses, it says this: "The Word, Jesus, became flesh, and he made his dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." In this passage, we read of God's desire not to remain distant, but to become flesh, to be embodied. And it tells us of the purpose of Jesus becoming flesh, and that purpose was to make his dwelling among us, to be with us. Jesus is the embodiment and the fulfillment of God's desire and God's promise to be with us and to be present. And then, as well as being the physical manifestation of God's presence, Jesus is also a role model. He's the perfect example to follow in how to be present to each other. I mentioned earlier that as churches, we run so many different courses and groups and programs and services in order to build community, to share faith, and with the good aim of building God's kingdom. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But interestingly, when you look at the life of Jesus, he never once ran a course or a group or a program or a service. He rarely even expected people to actually come to him. Instead, Jesus went to where the people were. He met with his disciples whilst helping them to fish. He met a woman while she was getting water at a well. He walked with two men on the road to Emmaus. He ate in the home of Mary and Martha and countless other people. Jesus was present, walking with people through the everyday activities of life. And it was in these moments, these everyday activities, that they encountered Jesus most powerfully, recognizing him as the Son of God and having their lives touched and changed by his presence with them. The two men who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus in that story that Sarah read didn't recognize him at first. And that was most likely down to the fact that they thought he was dead, either that or that his resurrected body had a slightly different appearance. He walked and talked with them until they reached their home where Jesus was invited in. Jesus then sat and he ate with them. And it was in the moment of giving thanks and breaking bread that they recognized Jesus and encountered the fullness of his presence. Jesus met these men and revealed his glory to them in two very simple ways: by walking with them and by eating with them. I wonder what we can learn from Jesus as a role model and what we can adopt in order to help us with this vision of being more present to the people around us. Well, firstly, Jesus didn't expect people to find him. As I said, he wasn't putting on countless events for people to come to. But Jesus went to where the people were in his community. He went to the everyday normal places where people would gather. And there he met people, and even more importantly, they met him. And secondly, Jesus was present in the normal and mundane activities of life, in the walking, in the cooking, in the gathering water from the well, in the fishing, in the eating. In our vision of being present, we need to meet people where they are at. We need to be present in the places where people gather and do everyday life. That might be being more in the center of the community here. But where else might that be? On the streets, in the co-op, in workplaces, in cafes, in pubs. And we need to meet people in the everyday activities. One of the things I love about the Renew Wellbeing model is that it's about doing normal activities together, sharing each other's interests, sitting together and having a cup of tea or some lunch. It's about meeting people and being present in the everydayness of life instead of expecting people to come and find us where we are. Having come to earth, died, and then risen, Jesus then ascended into heaven. I can imagine the look on the disciples' faces when they realized that Jesus was leaving them. What about this promise to be present with them always? In John chapter 14, we read about Jesus comforting his disciples after telling them that he was going to leave them. He says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house there are many rooms, and one day I will come and take you there to be there, take you there with me, that you may also be where I am." This is Jesus reminding his disciples of his desire to be with them, even though he's going to be leaving them. Then he goes on in verse 16 to say this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." Again, in this passage, God continues his promise to be with us in the form of the Holy Spirit, living in each one of us, even after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And so looking from the start of the Bible to where we've got to now, in the Old Testament, we have God above, God the Father. In the Gospels, we have God alongside us in the form of Jesus. Now we have God in us, God the Holy Spirit. And how much greater is it to have God in us as well as being alongside us? Surely that's the ultimate in God being present. When we invite God into our lives by his Holy Spirit, we have the promise that God will be present in our lives forever, always walking with us, always listening, always guiding, and always caring. In Acts chapter 1, we read about Jesus leaving his Spirit to live in us. Jesus says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Earlier, I talked about Jesus embodying God's promise to be present with us. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. Well, in receiving the Holy Spirit, God comes to live in us. God comes to live in our flesh. Jesus ascends into heaven, but the Holy Spirit comes to live in us, and we become the embodiment of God, displaying his presence, his promise to be present among us. It becomes our role and our calling to be the very presence of God to the people and the places where we find ourselves and to the ends of the earth. Not only is God's vision to be with us, but his vision is that we become the vehicle of his presence in the world, taking Jesus to the least, the last, and the lost. We have a vision of being present. Why? Because that is God's calling upon our lives. We are the embodiment and the fulfillment of God's promise to be present in the world, because God lives in each one of us. We are called to be Jesus to the world that we live in. And so I've talked a fair bit about God's desire to be present with us. I've also talked about our calling to be present to others by following the example of Jesus and being the embodiment of God's promise to be with us here on earth. But what I haven't talked about yet is our need to be present with God. And this is where the story of Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha becomes really important. This is a story that has the potential to make us sometimes feel a bit bad when we read it. We read about these two sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary, who sits at the feet of Jesus, listening and interacting with him, being present with him, whilst Martha, her sister, rushes around tidying, cleaning, preparing food for Jesus. Martha is trying so hard and striving to serve Jesus and to make him happy. But in doing that, she not only stresses herself out, but she forgets the most important thing, being present with Jesus. Jesus doesn't tell her to stop serving him, but he does remind her of the most important thing, and that is her relationship with him, to follow the example of Mary, who was sitting at his feet. How can we possibly be the embodiment of Jesus and share God's presence with others unless we take the time to be present with God ourselves, to sit at his feet, to learn from him, to talk and to listen, to read his word, to receive his spirit of truth and of peace? How can we share this shalom that we've talked about of well-being and wholeness with the world unless we're taking time to first receive it for ourselves? So yes, God's vision is to be present with us, and yes, our vision should be to be present to other people. But first, we should remember the most important thing, to be present and to be available to God. I was going to finish the sermon here for this morning, but since I've gone so far through the Bible, from Genesis to the Gospels and Jesus to the church today and God's Spirit living in us, I thought I'd quickly finish the story off with God's ultimate vision to be present. We're living in the time between Jesus ascending into heaven and God's ultimate promise to one day come again and to make a new heaven and a new earth. We've already discussed our role in this time to be the embodiment of God's promise, God's presence here on earth. But God's ultimate plan is so much greater and so much more incredible. And this is the vision that God gives of the future in Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." As well as creating a new heaven and a new earth with no more death or mourning or suffering or pain, God again reminds us of his deepest desire that runs all throughout Scripture, to be with us, to be present. I'm just going to read that bit again. I heard a loud voice saying, "Look, finally God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them." He'll be present and will be their God. And that is the hope that we cling to, that the God who created us for relationship, who sent Jesus to dwell with us and the Holy Spirit to live in us, has promised us a future in which there is no separation from his presence and where we can bask in the fullness of his glory. We believe in an ever-present God, and we commit to this vision of receiving his Spirit, following the example of his Son Jesus, and embodying his presence and seeking to bring his heavenly shalom, well-being and wholeness here on earth. And that is our vision. That's God's vision of being present.